Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Tailgate Tome, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgie, and I love both of those things too. I don't know about where you are, but where I am today, the sun is shining, it feels like, for the first time in a week, and that's because we have a huge weekend of Final Four games. The women take center stage tonight. We got NC State, South Carolina. We got UConn in Iowa. And then on the men's side, Saturday, we have two of the same teams participating in that tournament. We have the UConn Huskies taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide and the NC State Wolfpack taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. It's going to be a great weekend of basketball, and I can't wait to get into it. First, a reminder though, you can find me across social media platforms at the same handle, at Gorgon Sports. Definitely make sure you are following me on Twitter, because any picks that I add outside of this show, I will post there on Twitter, at Gorgon Sports. So let's dive right in to the men's Final Four, and I am so excited for it. It's out in Phoenix. It looks like everybody that's out there is having a blast, enjoying that Phoenix sunshine, and we should be set for a great weekend of basketball. Let's start with the early game. It's Purdue taking on NC State, and Purdue was the one seed out of the Midwest region. They ran through that bracket, beating Grambling State in the first round, blowing out Utah State 106-67 in the second round, getting by a feisty Gonzaga team in the Sweet 16, the five seed, and then taking down Tennessee in the Sweet 16. NC State is the Cinderella of this tournament, if you will, if that definition fits for an ACC team. I think it does. They had to win five straight to get into this tournament. They were the 11 seed. They are the 11 seed. They took down Texas Tech, the six seed in that South region in the first round. Then they beat Oakland in what was their closest game of the tournament in the second round. Oakland, of course, upsets Kentucky. NC State and Oakland go to overtime. And that's really the only close game that NC State has played, because then they beat Marquette, the number two seed in the region, and they were in control of that game really throughout. And then in the Elite Eight against Duke, Duke was giving them a good game in the first half. I thought Duke actually outplayed them. I really like Duke's defensive game plan, but NC State pulls away late. They get the 76-64 win as they head to Phoenix, where they will meet Purdue. So let's dive into this game. And Purdue is between an 8.5 and a 9.5 point favorite in this one, depending on where you look. The total in this is between 145.5 and 146.5. And when you look at some of the projections, the sites I love to look at all season long, KenPom has this game as a 11-point Purdue win, 81-70, 151 points. BartTorvik.com has this as an 81-70 Purdue win, also 151 points. So they match there on that. If you've listened to this podcast all year long, you know that one of the things that I really like to do is I like to play around with those Torvik dates. I like to see how teams perform over a given time frame. So if you change that time frame to since February 19th, not much changes. You would think maybe it would change a lot because NC State has been on this tear, but Purdue's been playing just as well. If you adjust that slider to just data since February 19th, Purdue still an 81-72 projected winner. That's 153 points. And then finally, if you filter it to just postseason only, that's where it gets a little bit closer. Torvik has it as a 75-70 Purdue win down to 145 points in that one. So what I want to talk about with each of these games today, because each of these teams are fairly sizable favorites. Like I said, 8.5 to 9.5 points for Purdue. UConn's right there at 11.5 to 12 points. I want to talk about how each team looking to pull the upset may be able to do that, who the X factor players in these games are, and of course, I'll end with my best bets for each game. So if NC State is going to pull this upset, how are they going to do it? Because Purdue has been running roughshod through this tournament. And I thought in that first half of the Tennessee game, that Elite Eight game for Purdue, you know, they might have been in a little bit of trouble. Purdue was down 11 with 5 minutes to go or so in the first half. And Dalton Knecht was on fire. And we've talked a ton, everybody who talks about college basketball, who watches college basketball, who covers it, has been talking about this big 30-0 run that UConn went on against Illinois in that Elite Eight game. But Purdue's run down 11 late in the first half may have been just as big. They go on a 15-2 run to end the half, and they actually end up taking a 36-34 lead into halftime. And I thought over the course of that game, Purdue showed they were the more composed team, especially over that last 5 minutes. Tennessee had some unforced errors in that last 5 minutes. Purdue did not look rattled at all, and they just felt like the more composed team. So what does NC State need to do to try to pull off this upset, yet another in a long line that they've pulled off over this ACC tournament and NCAA tournament run? Well, everything when it comes to Purdue starts with Zach Edey. Zach Edey just named the Naismith National Player of the Year for the second consecutive year, and everything runs through him. And I remain a believer that the best way to defend Zach Edey is to never let the ball actually get to him in the post. Because once it's gotten to him in the post, it's basically too late. He is going to score if he gets the ball in the position where he wants to get the ball. He is that good. He is that consistent. And he is that big. So how do you do that? Well, something that teams who beat Purdue had success with last year was putting pressure on its guards. At the time, Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer were freshman guards. Now, a year older, a year wiser, a year more mature, they are, of course, sophomore guards, and Braden Smith had a fantastic season. I think Braden Smith was first team all Big Ten this season, and I was really impressed with the way that he had improved year over year. He's had a great year. But still, if you are going to beat Purdue, I think it makes more sense to try to put some pressure on those guards and make them beat you rather than have Zach Edey beat you. And that's why I would have been so interested in a Houston-Purdue matchup, because Houston has those guards, the way they blitz those ball screens, that they would have put pressure on Purdue's guards and they would have force them to make tough plays, make tough decisions, rather than just let them freely feed the ball to Zach Edey. So to me, if NC State wants to win this game, they are going to have to put pressure on those guards. Now, whether that's blitzing the ball screens or whether that's picking up pressure full court, I think both are things you have to try at times. In addition to that, you have to be able to throw a bunch of bodies at Zach Edey, which is something that NC State may actually be able to do. Because, of course, you have DJ Burns, who is maybe the star of this entire NCAA tournament. You have Muhammad Diarra, who's another guy who's big. He's 6'10". He's not different build than DJ Burns. He's not as wide as DJ Burns. He's not as much of a load in that regard, but he's still tall. He's a 6'10 guy. And then you have Ben Middlebrooks, who I called out for being very effective against Duke and Kyle Filipowski, and I think forcing Filipowski to pick up a couple fouls. Filipowski also ultimately fouled out of that game for Duke, and I think in part that was because Ben Middlebrooks was a pest, and he forced him to make some mistakes. So can NC State force Braden Smith to turn the ball over? Can they force him to make some bad decisions? Can they make it hard on him? I mean, look, anytime you're trying to feed the post, there's two things you can do. You can either make it hard on the, if you're defending that, you can either make it hard on the big man to get the ball, to receive the pass. You can make it hard on the passer to get it there. I think you got to make it hard on the ball handlers to get the ball to Zach Edey. And I was disappointed in that Tennessee game because when Tennessee went up 11, Purdue called a timeout. They did pick it up full court, and Purdue did a really nice job of getting the ball to Fletcher Lawyer with a full head of steam in the backcourt, and he took it coast to coast, and then you didn't see that full court pressure the rest of the half. You also didn't really see them blitz the ball screener, blitz the ball a whole ton on those pick and rolls, on those ball screens, which is something I would have liked to see more. And it's a reason I thought Tennessee had a chance to upset Purdue, is because Tennessee has been so good defensively all year. They are always good defensively under Rick Barnes, and they have some interesting size at the guard spot. No, Ziegler, Sakai Ziegler is not a big guard, but they do have some bigger guards, and it's something that I felt like could give Purdue problems. So that, to me, is something that's going to be critical for NC State, is can they put some pressure on those ball handlers? And then can you maybe get Zach Edey to commit a couple fouls? He is one of the best in the country at drawing fouls. He's one of the best in the country at not committing fouls. In fact, I went through and I looked at it earlier this week, and there was only 4 games this season where Zach Edey picked up 4 fouls. He never fouled out the entire season, and I think that's going to be absolutely key. If NC State can find a way, whether it's with DJ Burns inside, and DJ Burns, you know, very different than Zach Edey. Zach Edey, of course, standing 7'4". DJ Burns, only 6'9", but 275. And he has that touch around the rim. He has that crafty game, and he's been so effective this tournament. So can they get Edey to pick up some early fouls, whether it be attacking him on the offensive side with DJ Burns going right at him, whether it be Ben Middlebrooks in reserve, finding a way to just be a pest and get Edey frustrated. I felt like that's what he did very well against Filipowski. He was making a lot of those hustle plays. He was playing good defense. He was rebounding well, and Filipowski seemed frustrated with Ben Middlebrooks. Can they find a way to get some fouls on Zach Edey? That would be the path to victory for me. And then, of course, they're going to need DJ Horn to go off. It's been the DJ party for NC State. It's been DJ Burns in the front court. It's been DJ Horn in the back court, and they are going to need him to have a big game. They're going to need him to go off. That was one of the things coming out of the Oakland game. I thought they really needed more from DJ Horn. Well, he delivered against Marquette in the Sweet 16. He puts up a 19-point effort. He goes 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. Against Duke, a 20-point effort. DJ Horn showed up big time in the second weekend. So it's got to be a DJ party for NC State. From the Purdue side of things, and I think this is going to be very similar to what I say about UConn, you just have to stay the course. You just have to do what you have been doing, not just throughout this NCAA tournament, but all season long. They are a team, they know who they are. They play through the post. They play through Zach Edey, and everything flows through that. Then they can find opportunities for other guys through Zach Edey. I think if there's going to be an X-factor guy in this game, it's going to be Fletcher Loyer. He's a guy who vastly improved his three-point shot year over year. His freshman year, he shot 33% from beyond the arc, now shooting 44% beyond the arc. And Purdue as a team is a very good three-point shooting team. They shoot almost 41% from the three-point line, which is good for second in the country. But that all stems from the open looks they get from playing through Zach Edey. So I would say play through Zach Edey, take advantage of the looks that he gives you, and keep your composure. For a team that fell to the number 16 seed last year, of course, in Fairleigh Dickinson, only the second one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed, they're now trying to become the second team to lose to a 16 seed in the previous year and then follow that up with a national championship, much like Virginia did. I thought they were so composed in that Tennessee game. They never panicked. They stuck to the game plan. And it's easy to do when you have a guy like Zach Edey, who you can lean on in your biggest game to put up 40 points, put up a career high, and do what he does. Zach Edey is good for 25 and 12 every night. You just got to stick to your game plan. Don't panic. And I think it's as simple as that for Purdue. But if there was one X-factor player for me, it would be Fletcher Loyer. I think ultimately in this game, I am betting Purdue. I'm betting Purdue -8.5. And it seems to me like UConn and Purdue are on this collision course to meet in the national championship. They've been the most dominant teams throughout this NCAA tournament. They were two of the three dominant teams throughout the regular season. I would put Houston right up there with them. If you look at the KenPom rankings right now, UConn is number one, Purdue is number three, Houston right between them at number two. And I would have loved to have seen Houston and Purdue in this Final Four. We'll never know what might have happened had Jamal Shedd not gotten hurt in that Duke game, that Sweet 16 game. Would they be here, and would they be here playing their unique style of defense and putting some pressure on those Purdue guards? But nevertheless, we have NC State, who's had an amazing run. I talked about it last week. This NC State run has reminded me why I love sports so much, what is so fun about sports, why you invest in a team the way that we do as sports fans. And now NC State has to be here, is here, and has to give it their best shot to pull off this upset. I just don't see it, not because NC State's not good enough, but because I think Purdue is that good. This reminds me a lot, these two games remind me a lot of the college football playoff semifinals and what we've seen year over year over year in those games, where the favorites are just that much better than their competition, and they are able to win going away. It's been a profitable, and I shouldn't say that because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but favorites have done very well in the college football playoff. Now, college basketball is different, but this reminds me very much of that, where we have these two dominant teams in UConn and Purdue. I think Purdue answered any questions about their NCAA tournament readiness or ability to step up in these big moments over the last 2 weeks. If you had any fear about them coming off that loss last season in the first round, I think all of those concerns have been alleviated. To me, Purdue is on a mission. Purdue has been one of the two best teams all year. NC State has been on a great run, but I think that stops now. I think Edey at 7-4 is a difficult matchup for DJ Burns. I think as crafty as DJ Burns is, that length is going to present some problems for him. And I think NC State's run comes to an end here. Purdue has stepped up every time they have needed to. Purdue has played the best in the country throughout the season. They scheduled very tough early on. They played great opponents. They went out to Maui in Big Ten play, despite the Big Ten not being as good as it often is. Every time they had a big game, Illinois a couple times, they stepped up and they won. I see the same thing happening here with NC State. I think NC State's magical ride comes to an end, and that's no shame. No shame to what the Wolfpack have done. It's been an amazing run, but I think Purdue is on a mission, and they will get to the national championship game. Give me Purdue -8.5 with the best player in the country on the floor. Let's move to our second game of the night. It's UConn between an 11.5 and 12-point favorite against Alabama. UConn came through the East Regional. They were the one seed. They blew out Stetson to start the tournament, blew out Northwestern in the second round, 75-58. Again, another blowout. UConn beats San Diego State 82-52, the 5 seed in the region. And then in the Elite Eight, they have that legendary 30-0 run as they beat Illinois 77-52 in a game that was not close in the second half. UConn, over the last 2 seasons, has now won 10 consecutive NCAA tournament games by double digits. They are on an absolutely incredible 2-year run. And then Alabama is a team that was a big surprise to me coming out of this West Regional. I thought this was North Carolina's to lose. I didn't love the bottom of that bracket. I thought Arizona was susceptible. I didn't trust Baylor on the defensive end. Lo and behold, neither of them get to an Elite Eight. It ends up being an Alabama-Clemson Elite Eight, but let's go through Alabama's path. They beat Charleston, the 13 seed, 109-96 in the first round. It was kind of your classic Alabama game where, yeah, they're going to score 109, but they gave up 96. Not often you see a game surpass 200 total points in the NCAA tournament. That's exactly what happened there in the first round. Then they beat Grand Canyon, the 12 seed, in the second round. They win a 72-61 game. They upset the number one seed, North Carolina, 89-87 in the Sweet 16, and they beat Clemson, the 6 seed, 89-82 in the Elite Eight. So let's go through the same exercise here. How can Alabama pull off the upset? And before we get there, I do want to go through some of these projections here. So the KenPom projection is UConn 86-78 winner, so an 8-point winner there, 164 total points. The Torvik projection, UConn 86-76 winner, 162 total points. If you take Torvik just since 2019, February 19th, NC State's a much bigger favorite. Torvik has them winning 92-73. That's a 19-point margin there, total of 165 points. And if you take the postseason only, it's also a 91-73 victory for the Huskies, an 18-point margin of victory, 164 points. What that should tell you is as good as Alabama's run has been, UConn has been the most dominant, most impressive team in the entire NCAA tournament. I talked about last week how good this team is, how it might be an all-time team, the fact that they've only lost 3 games this year, all true road games, all 3 true road games, one where Donovan Klingon, their big man, gets hurt, and UConn has just been on a dominant run in this postseason. But what can Alabama do to pull off this upset? Well, I think what Alabama has to do is they have to play their game where they shoot a ton of threes, and they will have to shoot lights out from beyond the three-point arc. Because when we look back at how UConn has been beaten this year, one of the ways that they were beaten by Creighton was unconscious from behind the three-point line. Creighton went 14 of 28 at home when they blew out UConn 85-66, and Alabama's going to have to do the same. The good news for Alabama is that is their game. Alabama is all layups and all threes. That is what they do. That's part of why they were able to win that North Carolina game. Even after getting down, they kept firing from beyond the arc. They ultimately end up hitting 11 three-pointers in that game. They go 11 of 26 in that win over North Carolina. That's going to be what Alabama has to do if they want to win this game. I just don't see another path for them. If they can't go, if they don't hit at least, let's call it 13 threes, I think they need to take at least 30. I think they need to take 30 threes in this game. I don't see a path for them winning because UConn is a great defensive team. UConn executes flawlessly in the half court. UConn is really good in transition as well. UConn can beat you in a variety of ways. I don't see this Alabama team just shutting down UConn on the defensive end. As good as this run has been, and they've had some timely stops in some of their big wins, but it's been the offense that has carried the day. If you look on a points per possession basis, North Carolina still put up 1.21 points per possession against Alabama in the Sweet 16. In the Elite Eight, Clemson put up a 1.15 points per possession, but it was Alabama's offense, which was flawless in those games. Against Clemson, they hit 16 three-pointers. That's 40. They go 44% from beyond the arc. I talked about their shot chart, how it was all layups. They only took like two or three mid-range jumpers. They got to the rim. They hit big shots from the outside. It was their offense that was flawless. That's got to be the key for them against UConn. Can they do it? Certainly. But that's the game plan. That's the path. That's how they will have to beat them. As far as X-factor players go, I think it's on the Alabama side, Grant Nelson, their big man, because he can step out and hit shots from beyond the arc. And if you watched the Illinois game, if you heard Brad Underwood's comments about Donovan Clingan, the big man, where he said, if he blocks 100 shots, he blocks 100 shots. We're going to keep going at him, something along those lines. I think anybody that watched that game realized that was a mistake. And the thing with Grant Nelson is he is a stretch five. He can go and hit a shot from the outside. So if in the ball screen game, you know, he can step out, you can run a pick and pop with him, and you can pull Donovan Clingan away from the basket and open up some more space because they will have to respect that Grant Nelson three-point shot. Nelson was the hero against North Carolina. He had a huge game. He hit a couple threes in that one. And he was a critical factor in that game. I think he is the X factor in this game. And then as far as UConn goes, it's hard to say, hey, they need an X factor in this game because all of their players are well known. All of their guys are so good. It's like hard to say, hey, here's a guy that you might not know about that's going to be an X factor. I would just say this about UConn. They need to keep Donovan Clingan on the court because Clingan, if there's one drawback about him, there's been times this season where he's been a little bit foul prone, he's picked up fouls, or he just hasn't been able to be on the court for as many minutes as you would like. Zach Edey's a guy who plays significantly more minutes than he does. They need to keep Donovan Clingan on the court because he is a load inside, and that's one area where Alabama has struggled mightily this season in SEC play. It's against big men, and that gets me in to my bets. I am going to take Donovan Clingan over 15.5 points because big men have been an issue for Alabama, and Clingan is one of the best. He's coming off a huge game against Illinois, but Alabama has struggled against big men all year. Tyrese Samuel of Florida put up 14 points, 19 points, and 18 points in three meetings against the Tide. Tolu Smith of Mississippi State put up a 23-point effort and a 15-point effort in two games. Jonai Broome of Auburn put up a 24-point and a 25-point performance. Armando Bacot put up some big numbers in that Sweet 16 game. I have to look to see exactly what they are. I thought I had them right here in front of me. I don't, but Bacot was not the reason that North Carolina lost that game. Armando Bacot put up 19 points in that loss to Alabama. against Clemson, their two bigs, P.J. Hall and Ian Shefflin, both had good games. Shefflin had 18 points. P.J. Hall had 14 points. I think as long as Donovan Klingon is able to stay on the court, he is going to go over that 15.5 point threshold. So that is one of my two bets on this game. And I think this really ties in, and it's UConn minus 11.5. I put this bet in almost the second it popped last Saturday night when Alabama won that game against Clemson. UConn has been on a roll. My analysis for this isn't much different than Purdue. They have been one of the best teams in the country all year long. They are playing their best basketball right now. They are on a mission to the national championship game, and they are not going to be stopped. It reminds me a ton of college football playoff semifinals in years past, where there is one team clearly better than the other. UConn is the clearly better team in this one. And you know what? I have gone against UConn too many times. Last year in the NCAA tournament, I never bought into them, and it cost me. And I'm not saying that's a reason you should, you know, you don't want to be burned again, but I have watched this team a ton. I'm sure you have too. If you're a college basketball fan, you're seeing them all the time. And there has been nobody that looks like they are in UConn's league. I would also say this about Alabama. Alabama, as good as this run has been, they got a little bracket luck there, right? Instead of a 5-seed St. Mary's, they get a 12-seed Grand Canyon in the second round. They pick up a great win over North Carolina, but as I talked about, they got some timely stops, but North Carolina was still able to score pretty much at will when you look at the points per possession numbers, when you look at what Armando Bacot was able to do, but they came up with timely stops. Then you go back to this whole bracket luck thing. In the Elite Eight, they don't get the 2-seed Arizona. They don't get the 3-seed Baylor. They get the 6-seed Clemson, who, to the Tigers' credit, they beat both of those teams to get there. There was nothing fluky about Clemson's run to the Elite Eight, but still, it's a 6-seed versus a 3-seed or a 2-seed. And again, it was a tight game. Alabama got timely stops, but Clemson put up some pretty good points per possession numbers. What I'm not buying into with Alabama is that this defense has drastically changed from the one that we saw all year was not very good, from the one that we saw struggle with big men all year long. They have been very hot recently, Alabama, over the course of this tournament run. We've talked about their three-point shooting prowess, and they've done it very well. From beyond the arc in this tournament, they're shooting 41.4%, which I'm not so sure is going to be a sustainable number, especially at the number of three-pointers that they take. Almost 46% of their field goal attempts have been three-pointers in this tournament. UConn is one of the best defensive teams in the country. UConn can beat you in the half court. They can beat you in transition. They can play any way that you want. And I think UConn rolls in this one. Give me the Huskies minus 11.5. So to recap, I am on the two favorites. I know it's scary. You don't like it. You feel like Joe Public. You feel like a square being on these favorites. But sometimes there are two teams that are just head and shoulders above the field. That's exactly how I feel about Purdue and UConn right now. Purdue minus 8.5 against NC State. UConn minus 11.5 against Alabama. And I'm going to take Donovan Klingon, UConn's big man, over 15.5 points. Each of those bets is to win one unit. If I do add anything else before these games, it'll be posted on my Twitter account at GorgOnSports, so make sure you follow me there. Enjoy this big weekend of Final Four games, everybody. It should be a great one. We got Final Four action on the women's side tonight, the men's side tomorrow, a women's championship game Sunday, and a men's championship game on Monday. It should be a great weekend to be a college basketball fan. Until next time, keep the girl hot and the cooler cold.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.